Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good evening to everybody out there listening in Blog Talk Radio land. We want to thank you for tuning in to this show tonight. This is a continuation of our Wednesday broadcasts that we're doing, and tonight's show again is titled Ask the Doc, and we're going to be getting into that show content in a few, but as you know how we do each and every time we come on these airways, we read from Daily Motivations for African-American Success. I mean, if we're going to be successful, we need to make sure that we know that there's a book out here that gives people examples of different things that you can do to help you with being able to have success in your life. And today's reading is September 4th, Sesame Street. Quote, all of us are born in a state of ignorance, and many of us never change residence, unquote. Ife Berry, wife of Marion Berry, former mayor of Washington, D.C. It's remarkable how much you have to know before you realize how little you know. We are where we are because of what we know. If we hope to experience more of what life has to offer, we'll be forced to take in additional information. Life is for learning. In the first 5 years alone, we learn to walk, talk, eat, and interact with playmates and family. From 5 to 10, we learn to read, write, and do arithmetic. We also learn more about friends, relatives, supporters, and detractors. And so our learning continues. Most people continue to learn until the age of 15 or 20. Then the growth slows, or in most cases, stops. Most people then declare their formal education is over. So, you know, most people then declare that their formal education is over. They feel they have nothing else to learn, which means they have a lot to learn. An ancient proverb offers excellent advice. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him. He who knows not and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him. I now know that it makes a big difference in life whether I live and learn or just live. And, you know, that's our reading for the day. And what we want to do is bring up our guest. Our guest is Dr. Mel Butler. I will give you some information about him in terms of his background. So hold on here for a minute as I read his background, his bio. Dr. Butler, you still there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read your background so I can properly introduce you.
It sounds technically like we're underwater. Can you control that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Your whole talk, it sounds like you're underwater. So is that a connection, or can the host, can they change that or make it better?
No, I got a good connection. Let me go ahead and read your background. Dr. Mel Butler is a trailblazing civil rights pioneer, native of Baltimore, Maryland, and one of 12 children. His accomplishments include Morgan State University graduate, BS in marketing, double MBA simultaneously in marketing management, over 50 years of marketing innovation with his work at the first technological commercialization center, which included the evaluation of the Hummer, Hot Pockets, Bad News, all-purpose sauce to change the landscape of barbecue sauce recipes across the United States. Dr. Butler is a certified master consultant in evaluation and marketing of diamonds. Participated in talent consulting for Disney, Ford Motor Company and United Airlines, as well as a consultant and contractor for Small Business Administration, MBDA, and Commerce Department. Dr. Butler, a champion of causes of youth empowerment, continue to work with nonprofits to benefit youth in areas of training and internship development. He also partnered with organizations such as Faces Going Places, a 501c3, ACE, an Alliance for Career and Education, LLC, the Harlem Wizards, the Harlem Globetrotters, and Universal Soul Circus. Along with his passion for golf, Dr. Butler continues to utilize his enormous leadership by creating job training programs and representing retail, food, and beverage, sports, and entertainment interests through his work at Maker to Markets. And so without any further ado, we're going to bring up Dr. Butler as we embrace this dialogue and conversation and show about entrepreneurship and how that can work for people, whatever. We have a couple callers that have called in. I'll get to you in a minute. But let's first go ahead and let the doc open up the platform as we talk about entrepreneurship for the night. Dr. Butler, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jahi. I hope that everybody can hear me clearly. It sounds like a little disruption in the voice. Sounds like I'm talking underwater. I assure you, hopefully you can hear me. I'll pass the floor. Yes. Were you saying something, Jahi?
I hear you fine, sir. I hear you fine.
I can't understand. It's so garbled. I can't understand.
But I said I heard it fine.
It's fine. Oh, yeah, you're fine. Okay. Well, that bubble, I don't know. It's on my phone. I'll call that in again. But it shouldn't be. Anyway, I'm pleased tonight. I'm very, very happy. I'm coming in on a very high note. I try not to ever be on a low note. But it's good tonight. We're going to be talking about entrepreneurship and what it takes to be one and how you get started. I received some very, very good information today, so when you go home, everybody can look up Walmart, and when you look up Walmart, just look up Vintage Energy Drink. I was just told that the last project that we just completed, that product is now in all Walmart, and they're getting ready to put it in the Sam's Club. So if you want a souvenir, or if you want to just have some very, very fine, go to Walmart and get a can of Vintage Energy Drink. So that's a person that, you know, wanted to go into business, but
hello? Hello?
I'm sorry.
It's Cynthia Hudson Lane. The call is really, really broken up where we can't hear anything the doctor's saying.
Okay. Dr. Butler, call back in, please. And who am I speaking with? What's your number?
What's my number?
Yes.
It's 410-733.
410-733-7937. 410-733-7937.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you are?
Thea Latrell. Mm-hmm. And Cynthia Hudson Laney.
Okay. Waiting for Dr. Butler to call back in.
Okay.
And tonight, you know, we want to discuss what does it take to go in business for yourself, and how do you go about doing what you need to do to be a bona fide entrepreneur, so that you can be able to accomplish
your
goals.
Now, just catch up. Doc already knows I'm only able to be on for like maybe 5 minutes or so. I just wanted to allude.
I'm back on the line when you want.
Okay, Dr. Butler, you're back.
That's
you
better.
Hold on,
that's better.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think it got any better. Who was the lady talking? Was that they? Who was that?
Oh, Doc and Cynthia Hudson Lane. Yeah, it's better. It's much better now.
Well, I'm glad it's better on you guys' end because it's not so good on mine. But I will keep on. Hopefully, we will get a translator or somebody in here that can unscramble the gobble. But meanwhile, we're talking about entrepreneurship, and we're talking about the things that you can do. How do you prepare yourself for becoming an entrepreneur? There are several things that cause a person to want to be an entrepreneur. One, they have a job that they're not comfortable with anymore, so they just want to get a change, and they decide to start some sort of business. The second way is that if you plan to go into business and you go to school for going into business, you'll find that there is a difference in what's out here in the world in reality and what they teach you in a school. I taught marketing, and I had to do marketing a different way because many of the young ladies that take marketing, some of the concepts they don't grasp right away. But if we take our time and you know what you want to do, you know what business you want to go in, you have to do a little bit of research, or you should do that, or else you're just setting yourself up for failure. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that let's say you want to go into a business. You need to read, number one, read and find out as much about that business as you can. Once you found out through your research, talking to people, checking other companies that are similar to the one that you want to go into, when you make that step, you should be prepared to cut the bridge behind you. So going into, it looks easy to go into business, but there are some things that if you don't do these things, then you're setting yourself up for failure. The first one is, like I said, know what you want to do. Decide on if you want to sell umbrellas or golf clubs. Have a clear picture of what you want to sell and check and see if there's a demand for what you want to start your business in. As an example, I had some friends, they cook lovely, great cooks. I told them, you should go into business because you cook so well. And they decided about a month after that, they went into business. But they didn't have any real business plan. They just knew that people liked their cooking, and whatever they got out there, they would get it. Finally, I gave them a professional course on what you should do, how you should go in, how you can tell whether you have a product that may go, and how you should sometimes step back and say, I am not ready for this at this time. You know, being an entrepreneur is special. It's very, very special. And if you want to be a good entrepreneur, you've got to sit down, look in the mirror, and see, what am I bringing to the table? What am I doing, and what are my capabilities to make this thing go? That leads you to something, the second step you should do is have a business plan. And, folks, I'll tell you, before you get a business plan, if you don't really know what a business plan is, go and Google it. Some people say, I'm going to do my business plan. And when you look at it, it's just, it's not even a full goal. The person thinks that they know every answer to what's out there. You have to have somebody help you if you've never done it before, because we don't have the blessings of having a family that we sit down at the dinner table and talk about business. So we have to take some extra steps. One is when you need a business plan, and you do need one when you start, how will you know where you're going? And one of the first things I tell people to do is make a goal. If you don't have the complete business plan down, first make a goal. Make sure the goal that you set is realistic. Don't think that you're going to sell everything to the whole world and you don't have a plan to do that. That's like getting in a horse race with a dog and trying to win the race. So, first thing you need to do, make sure it's something that you want to do. Many people stop and go into business, as I did, because I couldn't see myself doing the thing that made somebody else rich. And when it was basically 90% of my effort that was going into it. But it was kind of tricky because that meant I was going to stop a job where I was getting paid every week. I could count on that, going into something that was very, very unknown. The goal that I set, I really didn't know how to set a goal. Somebody should have told me what I should do and how I should set that goal. 3 months of my first business, got 3 customers in 3 months because I didn't have a clear goal and I didn't write that goal down. So you need to have a goal, and you need to write it down if you want to be an entrepreneur. You need to read about business plan, and if possible, pick somebody that you know that's successful and watch what they do. Sometimes you can imitate exactly what they do, and you can be on your way. Financially, you need to make sure that when you go into business, you have enough resources, including money, that you can last, say, if everything went totally bad, for at least 6 months, preferably 6 months to a year. Never, ever, ever use your personal money to keep a business going. That's the single thing that makes most people, 85% of the people, fail, is that they take money from their household and put it in the business. Or they think that it's going to cost too much to hire somebody or get somebody to help them with the business. When you start using your own money, the money from your house, again, what you're doing, you're putting a big rock around your neck. Because if an emergency comes in your home and you need extra money and you have all your money tied up in the business, then it's very difficult to recover from that. My advice to a person is, one, make sure that you know what you want to go into. Number two, check out the market. Do some research. Is there room for you to be in what we call a lane? For those new people that may be on the phone, a lane is simply, is there an opportunity for me to do what I'm doing without getting crowded out or get put out because there are too many people in the same business that I'm in? So you want to make sure there's a lane for you to go into with that business. You want to make sure that you got a thick skin, because once you put your business plan down, write it down. Always write your goals, write your business plan, write it down. It may not really look right to you in the beginning, and you might have done some things wrong on it. So what you do, again, that person that you may know that has a successful business, you go straight to that person and say, can you do me a favor? People like to help you. Would you help me, please? Can you check my business plan since you are successful, ma'am or mister, whoever it may be? And be willing to listen. Be willing to listen. If somebody else is doing a great job and they had a business plan, you want to make sure that you don't try to act like you already know the business plan that you came to somebody to do for you in the first place. So you want to take your time, go over that business plan, make sure, did I cover everything? Do I have land or building where I'm going to be? And if so, what do I do? How much money do I have? How many customers can get in? Can I service the customers? Do I have a plan that makes sure that I know what I'm doing when I go out there to go in business? Attend some seminars. You don't have to always go for a four-year degree or for a two-year degree. There are many people, because they come up with such bright ideas, that really you only need a few people. But every day that you walk by that mirror, you need to say, okay, camera, action. Because when you step out the door or go on the phone, you're on the stage. People looking at you or looking at your product to see if they need it. If they do and you have a good business plan, then you're going to be able to make more customers, because that positive energy that that person can give to you, they will take it out and share it with other people. Make sure that your business plan includes enough items so that you could sell or whatever you're going to do to raise enough money so that you can live at least a year if things turn bad. Don't expect miracles when you start a business. Be very, very conservative when you start a business and learn as you go. When you put the business plan together, you've got to initially say what that goal is. That's one of the first things that you'll say. And how is that product going to serve the community at large? You need to know that if you don't, get somebody to help you before you step out there. But those are things you have to do. You have to check out your finances. That goes on your plan. You have to have a mission or a goal. What do you want to do? Do you want to serve the community? Do you want to serve all nonprofits? Do you want a mixture? And put down in your business plan why you think that yours is going to be different or better than anybody else's in the world. You should be that sure. Once you know that, be ready to get some bumps and bruises. Everybody that you meet would not be a person that you could sell to. So you have to start becoming very, very keen, very, very sort of conservative when you start out so that you don't make a mistake that can kill your business. So let's go back and see the first thing and see if you were listening to the first thing. Number one is what? We have to find something that we like, something that we like to do. Many people leave a job because they're just burned out and they want to do something on their own. They like to make their own decision. And you may be in a company, if you're providing most of the stuff that that company uses, then it's not a hard question to say, all right, I know what I want to do. I know how to do it. So let me get the business plan. And by the way, folks, don't be so stingy with your goal and your business plan that you don't sit down with somebody that knows about the business or what you're going to go into. How much competition is out there? How do I price my product? And am I pricing my product in a way that it will ease into the marketplace? And by that, I mean that when you price, look at somebody else's prices, a couple people in your industry, look at what they're doing and see if you can match that price or go lower. Now, that's the item that you're selling. An example could be if I'm going to sell eyeglasses. And the eyeglasses, they are really, 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 really good and keeping the sun out and they don't hurt your eyes. The first thing you need to do is say, if I'm going to sell, who else will be selling this? Can I get a place where I can sell it and the competition won't be too hard for me? Those are the kind of things you need to do. And you may have to even alter that business plan because the business plan is going to cover your mission. It's going to cover your goal. And it should also cover how many items or what items are you going to have, what am I going to sell to people. If it's sunglasses, what's my goal? Do I want to sell 100 pair the first month? Would I be satisfied with 50 the first month? And on that goal that you made, you have a goal, and then you have what we call a stretch goal. In other words, if everything was going right, if you have your expenses and if you have your income on a sheet, if you know what a spreadsheet is, now that you have computers, the computer can almost do everything that you need. It can almost put the business plan together without you. So you want to do that. You want to have some people that are in the same business or a like business that you talk to and making sure that you have a business plan. You also can get a bank, or there are many, many resource places that you can go to a workshop if you don't know. It's no sin not to know something and learn. Does this look like a good business plan? My goal is so-and-so. Can you help me? Does it look like something that I might be able to do? Do I have all the things that should be in a business plan, which you can get from any library, free of cost? And always be willing to learn and know your product better than anybody that's out there. You have to know that product so you know why people would come to you and not go to somebody else. So those are the basic things. In doing your business plan, one way you can tell if you have a good idea and if that idea may go, it's called a Ben Franklin evaluation. Ben Franklin evaluation. You simply take a piece of paper. I recommend you use a yellow pad on all the business dealings. For some reason, psychologically, yellow pads seem to work for people. It makes it a lot easier to close them. So you want to take that pad and draw a line down the middle. This is when you're just deciding whether you're going to go into the business or not. On one side, you put all the positive things about your product, what you're going to sell, how much it will cost, can I reach my goal by this, all those things. On the other side, you are going to say the things that would be negative about the business. Did I do the right thing? Is my goal for income high enough? Can I have my own time? Can I get customers to look at this product and buy this product so that I can hit the goal that I set? Once you look at that sheet, one side is going to be longer than the other side. So if you have more positives than you have negatives, then you're on your way at least to starting a business, because it means that you know that you can probably make enough money to sustain yourself by looking at what the cost of the item would be, how much can you raise it so people would buy it, and the competition would not drown you out of the business. I'm going to take a breath and let you, if anybody's out there, they want to call in. And, Jahi, you might have some things you want to add to that. I don't want to make it too complicated.
I was going to ask you, how important is it to have a mentor?
Say that again. Remember, I'm still in this bottle with this phone.
My question is, Dr. Butler, how important is it to have a mentor?
I'm sorry, it's so garbled, Jahi. I'm trying to listen. I can't. Let's take it. Let's take it a little bit at a time. I heard how important is it to
have a mentor? What role can a mentor play?
Oh, okay. I heard that. How important is it to have a mentor? A mentor.
Yes, sir.
It's extremely important if you can find, and there are enough resources, to be honest, folks, that you should never have a problem getting somebody that will be willing to help you. If you have a person that's willing to give up their time to help you, particularly in, say, the field that you're going in or close to the field that you're going in, and don't be afraid to ask questions. If you have a mentor, you want to always remember you're the student and that person is the leader. When you know enough information that you can do what that person, your mentor, shows you how to do, then you can back away. But initially, to be a good student, yes, nothing like a mentor, a person that you look up to, somebody that you respect, somebody that you're seeing all the good things in, that when your business starts, you want to be like that person. So I would say that's way, way up on the list. Now, it can be a person, but it also could be a school. It could be somebody that's in a business already. There were a lot of people that got their first break that wanted to break into communications. That Les Brown is one. Sit outside the door of the company that you want to, hire you or help you get started in the business. If you stay outside long enough, somebody coming out of that building or wherever you go is going to say that person must have a real thirst or a real desire to go into business. You cannot force enthusiasm. Excuse me. You cannot force enthusiasm. And remember, enthusiasm is to success as yeast is to dough. It makes the dough rise. So you want to do something, don't complicate it. Don't make it overly hard for a person to do. Get a mentor that you can get along with, not one that you'll argue with. Many people, they get a mentor or they want a mentor, and within about the first week, they are telling the mentor what the mentee should be doing. In other words, you can't learn a business in 2 or 3 days. There should be no rush, so patience should be a part of your goal or your requirements to go into business. That thick skin I said earlier, this is where the thick skin comes in. Be patient. Be studious. In other words, be willing to learn. And give that person, if you don't have money, if they didn't charge you, what you do to get the best mentor is you pay that person a compliment. Don't feel bad. If somebody is doing good and you're learning something, say, yesterday I really learned something. Do not be afraid. A lot of people lose their teacher, their trainer, their mentor by acting like they are in business after the mentor helped them and they don't say thank you or they don't say I'm really growing, I'm really learning something. So you got to be able to express yourself. But getting a mentor, I would give that a high score. Go ahead, Jahi. Is it just you and me? Is anybody else on this line?
Yeah, we have a couple other callers on the line. Callers, anybody out there, do you have a question for Dr. Butler?
Yeah, who's on the line? Hello, whoever's on the line.
Reggie,
how you doing?
I'm on the line.
Who is it, Reggie?
Yep.
Oh, okay, Reggie, coming all the way. You're close to D.C., right?
Yep.
Well, what do you do? Tell the people that are out there listening what you do. I know what you do, but let's let our listeners hear, because we want to show them different types of business. So tell them what you do.
Well, I'm on the company Sweat and Go, personal and group fitness training for all ages, specializing in fitness training for seniors, youth, and athletes, as well as wellness programs, wellness programs with special programs with churches, with women, infants, and children organization, and also do a radio show and partner with you with Pure Light Technology as Vice President of Wellness and Health.
So do you work with nonprofit groups or – I know, aren't you a spokesperson for the wellness with the WIC program?
Yes. And
so
I work with nonprofits as well as companies.
So is that a business that being a trainer, because I guess a lot of health spas have a lot of different trainers, but typically you could take an individual or you could take a group. Is that how you work? I know you're good.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I do individuals as well as with groups. Groups up to, well, I guess with WIC, they really worked me over the years. So I've worked as much as 1,300 of them at one time. So, so.
Well, we got my partner on the phone hurt his back today, I think. Is there any way that people can, once they hurt or get a sprain or something like that, are there some exercises that would help it heal? Usually if you break a rib or something inside, it takes forever for it to heal. Jahi, don't you have a back problem where you try to be a pretzel and it didn't work? Jahi?
Okay, you was talking to me. Yes, I have. I made a bad step the other day, Reggie, and I took and twisted either a muscle or something in my back, but I got some excruciating lower back pain. My wife's been rubbing me down. She rubbed me down the other day in Bengay. I put an ice pack on it this afternoon as I laid around. This happened to me yesterday evening, and the pain has gone down some, but I still feel the pain.
Okay, so that sounds like sciatica almost. If
so
it's running
you,
down
did you say,
running your lower back, running down the back of your leg?
No, I don't have. I've had the sciatica pain before, so it's not running down the back of my leg. It's just my lower back. There's pain in my lower back, and so I'm just trying to get through. The pain is just like the pain is going through me right now as we're doing the show. I used Bengay and I also used the ice pack. My wife said, that normally something like that means that I probably, made a wrong step, twisted a muscle or something in my back, and it just caused me to be in discomfort for yesterday evening and all day today. But the pain has, last night the pain was like horrific. Today, the pain has gone down some. So, it's getting there where it's, I'm starting to feel a little better, but I'll just be glad when it goes away.
Okay, so is there anything? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead and finish with him. You were going to tell him something.
Is there anything that you're doing to strengthen your lower back muscles? Any exercises, physical therapy, anything like that?
I did some stretches this afternoon as I got up and down to stretch and touch my toes and did a few other exercises.
Okay.
Hey, Reggie, can I ask you a question? Let's say somebody to get into doing what you're doing as a trainer, if a person, there may be somebody out there that wants to know, but this would hold true for any business, though. How easy is it to get in that business, and what are the prerequisites would a person basically need to go into two-year college or, you know, college to think about that kind of business? And is it costly for them to get into the business? Because our folks, the more options we have, somebody might want to go in that business and never they want to do business, but they don't know what they want to do. So let's just say take that field as a trainer, because a lot of people are trainers out there. And, of course, you being one of the top trainers, is that something? Because a young person, young man or young lady, they might not even think of other careers that are related. So what advice would you give them? Let's say they want to learn how to be a trainer or something like that.
Well, one of the things is to actually get some formal, get some training. I know, ironically, get some training to be a trainer. And that can be done through certifications, taking a certification course that not only has book knowledge but also hands-on knowledge. Also, there's degree programs. A person can get in exercise science and kinesiology, physical education degree programs, of course, in the community college level or even at the college level. But I always advise that you have some type of training, formal training, to learn the muscles and muscle groups, to learn about how they fit and mark, learn about how they fit and learn how the body works, and working internships in gyms so you can see where your skills and where your niches are as far as training is concerned and working the body out, whether it be group training or whether it be personal training, because there's so many different avenues you can go in as far as training, but you still need to have the basics about the body, the basics about kinesiology, anatomy, and things like that. And group training or personal training certifications can help with that, or some type of formal school training can help with that tremendously.
Do you have a way that they can reach you? Can they go on the computer? And I know I've been to your gym down there. It's one of the largest gyms in the state. But can you give them some information how they could maybe either come over there or look at it and see what you do or what? Do you have a number? They may want to get some training. People like Jahi, so that he won't turn into a little crab.
Oh, sure. They can contact me at 301-793-5878 or on all social media platforms of Facebook, Twitter, or on Instagram at Sweat and Go. That's the name of my company. Sweat, letter N, letter G, letter O, and they get contact with that. And that's also my website, sweatandgo.com. Contact me, inbox me at any time, and I can give them information to get anybody plugged in or give even more advice to help get into the industry.
Well, that's good advice. And, you know, a lot of companies now, too, our listeners out there, a lot of corporations are hiring trainers because they are realizing the more they do for their employees, like other countries, they do a lot for the people that work for them. Now American companies are starting to do the same thing. Like they give the wife time off if she has a baby, but now they give the husband some time off. So that's one of the growing careers that are out there, because more companies are looking out for their employees now, because the job market, when it gets the way it is now, then the people are in the best position, the consumers, in other words, because everybody wants to get that business because people have more money and to make sure. And if someone wants to, say, be that trainer, then I would imagine that they should be around the gym, at least go in and look at different things that they could do in that particular field. Make sure that it is something that you may not want to go into business by yourself. For if you're a new person listening, there are different types of businesses that, you know, you go in. If you don't like that, when you do the business by yourself, that's a sole proprietor. In other words, you think you can make it, and you don't think you need anybody else, so you have to just check the laws and make sure that you are in harmony with what the laws are, find any information that you can read, and also many times these occupations are occupations that you can get through a franchise operation. So you want to just make sure you pick the right business for yourself, go through it. You want to make sure you have that business plan. And for a potential business person, I want to just really say this tonight. It is super critical that you establish relationships with some of the people that can help you do your business the right way, i.e., I once had a client in Baltimore, and he really, really was a good worker. He'd been with this bank 15 years. And when he went to the bank, because he did not know the branch manager, he got somebody that was just above a teller. And they did not give him the loan initially. He had to go back, and I had to go back with him. And he'd been banking with the bank for 15 years. And they want him to start all over. And I went in as a consultant to him and showed that he had performed successfully in all these places, so he was entitled to get a loan. My reason for saying that is people put their money in the bank and don't know who the manager of the bank is. When I go into a bank, I yell and I shout. And now they're used to it because I said, I don't want my money to look like it's in the funeral home. You go in the bank, nobody knows anybody. If you're a potential entrepreneur, you must establish a relationship with some financial people and definitely the bank where you put your money. Find out, because they have many programs that they will assist you and even give you money if you're going into certain types of fields. So relationships when you start a business is very, very important. Now, when I say relationships, I mean get to know a little bit about that person. How long have they been a banker? Are they from an area near you? Just making a friend will help you out a great deal. So that needs to be a part of what you're doing when you are putting together that business plan. How much money am I going to need? How can I get that money if I don't have it saved up? What are some ways I can do it? Sometimes you can work in the business that you want to do, i.e. work in a McDonald's, and you'll know within a year what you need to do if you want to one day have a franchise yourself. So those are very, very important things. So you got to have a plan. You got to have a goal. You really need to have a burning desire to go into that business, and you got to keep it that way. You can't get down. You have to be strong. That means you have to have persistence. Let somebody look over your business plan before you go and take it to somebody to get money. I just had a client has a great product, and he put out an investment sheet. He wanted to get some money from people. He didn't let anybody look at that sheet before he went out there. I got about 5 calls within the first 24 hours that he was in business, and people said no way would they go into business with the person. And I was curious as to why, because I know that I went through every step that they should take if they wanted this entrepreneur thing. But come to find out, they didn't know anybody in the financial end. They didn't know where they would get some money. They didn't know. They wanted to have a partner, and they wouldn't listen to the company that told them that they need to insure one another if they are in a partnership. If that sole proprietorship is one person, but then you have a partnership, which you could go in partners with somebody. You want to make sure they're bringing something to the table that will be beneficial to the company and serves a need for the people in the community. Or you can start off as a sole proprietor, and as the business grows, generally when you're making, say, $40,000, $50,000, that's time to look at not being a single proprietor, because your taxes might kill you. All these are little things you got to look at. So, if I have a partner, what's that partner going to do, and do we write it down? Yes, you do. And you want to know what that person is bringing to the table. Explain clearly what their obligations are talk clearly about accountability. If you're going to handle side A and the other person side B, make sure that you are in agreement with whatever you do and still use those advisors. There are plenty of them at SBA. You can get them free. At most of the colleges, you have a small business center, and most of the colleges now, not only can they give you tips because most of them are older people who might have retired, but they don't want to stop working. So your first thing is just really know that product inside out. Make sure you check to see that there's a demand for the product that you want to put out there. Then make sure that you know the expenses can be covered for that business. Do I have enough money? Can I get a loan? If I'm a veteran, what benefits do I have if I'm a veteran? Some states now have things set up, especially for women. Do they have a program for women that's going into business? What does it take? Because many states and the federal government make you be minority certified if you're going after certain contracts. So whether you be that yourself or if you hire people, you have to take, those are things you have to take in consideration. So when you're making your monetary goals, you have to take care of all those things. That's why going to a seminar, going to a bank, going to a small business center, all those are things that can help you. And as we said earlier, if you can get somebody that can be a mentor to you, then that's a good thing.
Yes, sir. I heard Dr. Butler.
Go ahead.
Yes, I heard Dr. Butler. I had you're saying that people should have a relationship with a bank. And I remember in my wife's early days of doing business, we had a relationship with the branch manager of Advance Bank. And that helped us a whole lot in our early development of what we were doing with Movements Unlimited in terms of some of the things that helped us mm-hmm. to accomplish. But your point is very, very important. Have a relationship
yep.
with a bank.
And that's good. And you have to make sure when you're going to go into business for the first time, if you don't have anybody to follow you, not only location is always number one. Where you locate your business, that should be number one. I want to do this business, but what do I need? Do I need a building? Do I want to rent a space? Or what do I need to do? And make sure I have a client right now that wants to do some training of people. I think the training is $3,000 to $5,000 to be trained. And when the person went to the bank and the bank said, well, looks like you have a pretty good plan here, but how much money do you have for the equipment, for the product that you're going to do? Are you going to buy, and how much inventory are you going to have on hand? Because on the business plan, they never said that they would start with, you know, maybe $10,000 worth of inventory. And then we had to remind the person where you're going to get the inventory from. Because the product that she wanted to sell was not a product that's made in the United States. So they have to make a deal with somebody to bring it in from overseas, and that all goes into the pricing. You definitely want to have a lawyer, an accountant, a marketing person. Those are people that you have to have. They are a must when it comes to resources, because they can save you a lot of money. A lot of people want to do it their own way. They say they want to make mistakes because they learn from them. As a professional consultant, I would never take that kind of person as a client. Because one thing you have to learn is how you can make it safe for your employees, for yourself, and that you don't make a mistake that can wipe you out. Because sometimes new businesses just in ordering. And any accountant will tell you, you need to set up. They have different kinds of systems. They have one where it's called first in, first out, last in, first out. And that's all referring to items that you have to buy that you may have to keep in stock. So there are some things. Do not try to save a penny by not getting the proper resources. People go into business and then they think people should give them everything free. You have to make sure you're willing to pay. Sometimes you can get it free, but you don't go after it that way. You let people help you and be in the student position, because we have a saying in business, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. and you never know when that might be. But these are basic things. We're going to be doing a seminar probably within the next couple of months called Millionaires and Training. Millionaires and Training. You go to a program like that, and when you come out of it, you will have a pretty good idea of what you can do. Because some people have the money to start a business, but some people have a great idea, and all they need is a little money. So you can sometimes partner up with a person. Do some things. You know that I handle, say, the Harlem Wizards basketball team, Harlem Globetrotters basketball team. Somebody might want to know in the sports field, what jobs do they have in the back door, in other words, that you don't see. There are a lot of things that have to be done, and people can learn and not make a big mistake while they're learning. So this is something we can talk about more than one time, and I'm sure we'll have another session because it's a good idea for us to tell people how they can get started, how they can make a contribution to our people. You see, we've got to get out there and take some chances, and there are jobs all over the place, businesses all over the place, but now is the time to do it. So if you're out there thinking about it, save your little pennies up and be willing to let somebody grab you by the hand. If that person goes left, you go left. They go right, you go right. They sit down, you sit down. But don't come into the business or try to start a business being so aggressive and, say, so egotistical, because many people, they get a business and they run their customers away because of their attitude.
Dr. Butler, Cynthia Hudson-Laney here. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Good, and can you hear me?
What's happening in the neighborhood? Something going on.
And can you hear me? No, I have a business strategy question for you. I heard once you have all your goals set and you go to actually start your business plan, can you hear me?
I can. The last part is kind of garbled. Say it again.
Okay. Once you start your business plan, you have all your goals set, and I know I heard you say to be patient. My question is, should there be a time frame?
Yes. Yes. When I say be patient, I mean, let's say if you start a business, don't expect in the first 6 months it's going to make $1 million.
Right.
You should have a time frame, a goal. Now, remember, when you make your goals in any business, the goals have to be flexible. I'll give an example. When I do a seminar, and it's called Millionaires in Training, one of the things we do first is ask people what is their goal. And most of them don't have it, so they try to make one up real quick. And some of them, I'll do this example. Let's say you were my student, and I ask you, what was your financial goal? And you answer to me, just pick a figure, and I'll show you how it would work. Let's say you're going to start a business, and I say make a goal, and I say how much do you want to do? What is your goal for the first year in business, month, financially? What answer would you give me?
If I say for the first month, maybe $100,000. You know me, that maybe $100,000.
How much did you say? $100,000.
Yes.
Okay. Now here's the question that would come back to that person: do you make $100,000 now?
Well, that's what I'm shooting for.
I know, but I'm saying, like, see, remember, this, we just role-playing here now. I'm saying that person, they say $100,000. So
okay.
My question to them is, do you make that much money now? Chances are they're going to say no, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yes, right. So what they want to do is think about that. Yeah, I'd like to have $100,000 too. But there's another way without putting yourself out there so that you might get defeated by your own words, then you might think that, okay, I'm getting ready to leave this job because I want to be by myself. Now, the job is paying me $60,000 a year.
Okay.
See, I tell people, so the first goal could be to make what you were making and then raise it by, say, 10% every 6 months to a year. Because if you have a goal that is unrealistic, in other words, if a person never made $100,000 a year, then they need to go at it kind of careful. Make the first $25,000, then you immediately increase the goal to double that. Then you go to 50, That's why I'm saying being patient. My first business was in a place over a restaurant, and they had a large breakfast, and the place is still there, by the way. They had a restaurant, and all these workers came in at this place, and they ate. And I'm saying, why is this building empty? Why is there nobody in this space? And then I found out that the odor from the food was coming up, so nobody really wanted to have that office space. I took the office space because my goal was not so big. I had a telephone book and one chair and $250. So I didn't mind the food because now I knew that I had to make at least $250. So I set a very, very low goal when I started because the body wants to be rewarded with success. So that's a kind of what we call an unknown that many people won't tell you. When you make a goal and when you accomplish or hit that goal, the brain, the serotonin in your brain actually releases itself because you've said something and then you did it. That makes the brain happy. And remember, when I do a seminar, it's called Millionaires and Training, but what if I only helped you make a half a million? Would you be mad?
No.
Of course not. If I say millionaires and Tracy, that's one of the things that I show people. Everybody claims they want to make $1 million. You're
right.
Here, or they want your job. They want your job. So what you want to do, that goal being realistic, is set a goal that you might be able to reach, and then you immediately set another goal. See,
okay.
Those can be altered.
How you doing?
They can be altered.
Thank you.
But you don't want to, right, you don't want to stop or defeat yourself because you set up a goal that maybe that industry that you're in. Sometimes if a person put out everything they could, they don't have the supplies or there's no path where they could get to be a millionaire.
Right.
So what that person has to learn, you can still do it. You can still do it. And when you come to the training, you'll see once your brain is trained to go after something as high as a million, it will never go back to the same thing. So what, in a case like you're saying, 100,000, a person shouldn't get frustrated. They just ought to get a second office or a second building. See, if they branch out, they don't have to work themselves to death. But if they found somebody that might want to do the same building, and the first year I was in, I started off slow, but then within a year and 4 months, I had a second office. That made me be able to reach the goal with less trauma than when I first started. Because, see, now my goal was based on not the one location, but two locations. And all it did, it just took one more person, and that person got paid, you know, a commission for doing it. So, yes, you can definitely make things happen. And that goal, in fact, affirmation, I hope most listeners know what an affirmation is. That means you draw a picture, get pictures, get the things that you can do, and put that goal or whatever it is all around your house, all in the bathroom, in the kitchen, on the stove, on the bed. They found that the more times you look at an affirmation that's affirming that this is what I said, and you keep the brain has to know over and over again, you said it, so you want to accomplish it. Every time you look at a mirror, every time you look at the refrigerator, that is stimulating your brain to say, okay, I got this, I got this. I keep getting the message, I got it, I got it. And the affirmations really will work. They really will work. When you come into the class, you got it?
Okay, yes. But I'm going to have to close out now because there's noise in the background and I don't want to disturb you. Okay. So I'm going to try to pick back up. You know, I'll be calling in. Love your program. Tia's right here. And we're loving your program.
Okay.
Okay, that brings us down to we have 1 minute left, Dr. Butler. And
the hour is gone already?
Closing comments. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We got 1 minute left.
Walter.
And
you have to everybody, if you want to really see an affirmation work, you know, go to Walmart and find that drink and you'll see. And it's good that we're here in Baltimore so people can actually see people starting off with a dream and seeing that dream become a reality. Those are the kind of people that we want to meet. And I want to thank Jahi for setting up this agenda. We will talk about things like this every week, and I'll give you real live examples, and hopefully some of you will be coming to the training, the millionaires and training. Become a family, invite somebody else, and watch the fun you'll have as you make this thing grow. I turn it over to you,
okay,
Mr. Jahi.
All right, we're going to close out our show as we do each and every time we do a show on these airways with our theme song called It's My Time.
Are you gone? Are you still there?